I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, page 834 in your Red Pew Bibles. I would encourage you to follow along. We're going to look at this a little more closely. Susan gave us a preview. We're going to dig into it a little bit here. I can remember a TV show from the 70s. Comedian by the name of Flip Wilson. Remember how some of you remember Flip Wilson? He would always do these skits, and one of the skit was of a woman who would give in to temptation, and she would always say, "The devil made me do it." The devil made me do it. I can remember also when I'd watch some cartoons that there'd be the character cartoon, and then there would be on one shoulder would be an angel and the other shoulder would be a demon, and they would be bantering back and forth trying to get the character to obey whatever, and we would laugh at that. You know, they were funny things, laugh at these personifications of evil being an influence upon us. And then we come and we're here in the 21st century, and there's a lot of us who would just say, come on, you know, you really can't believe in demons or the devil or anything like that. My take on it is this, is just as there is a physical world in our universe, there is a spiritual world as well. And I do believe that there are demonic forces of evil in our world trying to influence us. They did back in Jesus's day, and the scripture today, we look at Jesus' encounter with one of these spirits, with the devil, as the scripture calls it. So let's look at this, Luke chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. Let's pray before we read God's word here. Father, we thank you for this time of gathering, this time of worship. We've just spent some time worshiping and blessing you, and now you want to bless us. You want to bless us as we open up your word and just dig up the gold that just emanates from it, Lord. May it speak to us. Lord, open up our hearts and our minds, because we come so often with preconceived notions. And even those of us who know the scripture, we've heard this many times before. Lord, show us a different aspect of it. We pray that it would speak to us clearly, that we might become more like Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. So, verse 1 says this, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, a couple things just we want to point out to begin with. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. As we covered 2 weeks ago, Jesus got baptized. Okay, he was in the river, he got baptized. The Spirit came down, looked like a dove to him, come down. He heard this voice saying, "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." So here's that's the pinnacle of Jesus' life. Getting baptized, you know, and then what happens immediately afterwards? The Spirit takes him into the wilderness. In the book of Mark, it says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted. So I find that really interesting. A high point, and then right after that, to be taken to be tempted. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. And the devil said to them, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So Jesus is alone in the wilderness here. And, I often think, well, how do we know this story? Well, Jesus probably shared this with his disciples, perhaps as a warning and understand how the devil will tempt them in areas too. And there are three basic areas, I think. I got this from somebody else, that the devil will tempt us that we see in this story. And so as we go through this, I want you to be thinking, which one of these is attacks me the most? Okay, which one of these am I most vulnerable to? And so the first one here is our appetite. The scripture says Jesus was hungry, hadn't eaten for 40 days. Devil comes to him, hey, just turn that stone into bread. You son of God, you can do it just like that. Now, that would be a shortcut for Jesus. That would be a sin for Jesus because he would be using his powers that God had given him for his own advantage. It wouldn't be used to glorify God at all or to help somebody else. It would be a shortcut. Instead of waiting for his heavenly Father to meet and take care of his needs. And so one of the ways that the devil tempts us is through our appetites, through our fleshly and our earthly desires, the things that we crave. One writer says this, our appetite is like a child always clamoring for attention. Our mind begins to think, I really need this or that in order to feel good, in order to satisfy this craving that I have. And so when we obey, when we give into it, we stop trusting our Heavenly Father to give us good things in a healthy way. And so what do we do then? Then we start doubting God's goodness to us. And so we start taking matters into our own hands. See, appetite here is often about control. We don't want to wait for God. We don't want to wait for God. And after a while, those appetites will begin to control us, where then we lose the capacities to say no, and we find ourselves feeding them more and more. And it could be something as basic as the foods that we eat, right? When I go shopping, I will not buy ice cream because I know if there is ice cream in my house, if I know it, I'm going to have some. Doesn't matter. I'm going to have some that night. And it's not just going to be a little bowl. Like my wife says, just take a little bit. I said, no, I need a bowl and I need to put peanut butter and chocolate syrup on. All right? And now some of you, I didn't mean to start that craving in you. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Right? But it can be the foods. It can be food that we eat or what we drink, right? We start off just having one drink with dinner, and then it turns into three. We just start craving it. Other things that we consume, it could be social media, the time we spend on the internet, the time we spent watching TV or obsessing over the way that we look, that we have to keep going back to the gym. It could be shopping. And of course, it can be pornography. And so I ask you this, this is where you just want to be honest. You don't have to write it down, afraid of somebody else might see, but I want you to think, what do you crave in a way that controls you? The second temptation here is the one of ambition. Ambition. The devil tells Jesus, hey, just worship me, I'll give you the entire world. And he is offering Jesus another shortcut, that he wouldn't have to go to the cross and die. He would have everything just like that. We live in a very competitive society. A lot of us are just conditioned to win, to be first. And we can find ourselves constantly comparing ourselves with other people. And with some of us, there is a desire to really strive for status and position, to win, to be on top, to be successful, to be in control of the situation wherever we are. This can be in the area of sports or politics or the money that we make, the status that we hold. How is my family doing compared to the other families of my friends? We can even begin to compare our grandchildren. How's my grandchildren doing compared to other grandchildren? Right? Now, not that winning or being successful is wrong. That's not what we're saying here. But a lot of people feel the need to be successful in order to feel good about yourself. And that's where identity comes from. You know, if you lose, if you don't get that promotion or the raise, or if somebody else is outperforming me, if somebody else's kids or grandkids are more successful than mine, or if I don't accomplish what I set out to do, then we start thinking, I'm a failure. What's wrong with me, right? And that becomes our identity, at least until we win again. And so a question I want you to think, and maybe this is you out there. Are you always striving to win? Are you always striving to accomplish things? Do you find yourself comparing yourself with others? And if so, part of the problem here is that it becomes difficult for God to fully use us because we're seeking our own success first instead of relying on God. That's the ambition temptation. And then the devil takes Jesus up to a high place in the temple, and he says, if you just jump, you know the angels would come and catch you, and they will bring you right down to the ground. Now, could you imagine what would happen there if that happened at the temple, and all the people around the temple, and they would see Jesus like, whoa, you're right? And instantly, he would be a hero. Instantly, people would flock to him, and he would be Messiah, and people would automatically begin to follow him. And here, again, is another shortcut that the devil offers Jesus. You don't have to go through all that hard stuff of discipling people and winning people over and loving them, right? You can become popular by being a circus act, is basically what he's saying here. And the third temptation here is one of approval. Approval. We get our identity by the approval of other people. Always looking for compliments. Always looking at what, you know, what are other people saying about us? Do people like me? Do people appreciate what I did for them? Do others think that I'm smart enough? What do my coworkers or what does my boss think about me? Do people want to hang out with me? Do people in Beaver Dam Church think that I'm a good Christian? And sometimes we'll ask people questions that we already know the answer to just to hear them say it out loud because it makes us feel good about ourselves. We need people saying certain things about us in order to believe that we have value. That's where our identity comes from. And the problem with that, obviously, is that God can't fully use us if we're always worrying about what other people think about us. And each of these temptations are actually an addiction. There are types of addiction. We're addicted to the appetites that we have. We're addicted to success or winning or always having to accomplish things. Or we're addicted to the affirmation and approval from other people. And each one of those will hinder our relationship with God. Now, my favorite scripture, John 10:10. Mark, put that one up there. And I usually, when I share this scripture, I just share the second half of this. But here, I'm going to share the full part. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil's about. Devil wants to take, he wants to steal from us. Okay? He wants to give us shortcuts that steal from us. Because Jesus says, I came so that you can have life and have it to the full. More and better life than you ever dreamed of. This is what Jesus says. And so get this in your mind. A lot of times we think about temptation. Oh, we give in to temptation. Then God will be mad at me and he won't bless me. And he'll point his finger at me and it's bad, you know. And it's like, what it means here is this. Jesus is offering life and the devil's trying to shortcut. Right? And it's not, we don't get to experience that full life. And so we get robbed of the full life. But the good news is that Jesus told his disciples, I believe he told his disciples this account for a reason. He wanted them to learn. Here's how you combat temptation. And the first way to combat it is this. Notice when he says this, if you are the Son of God. The devil comes to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. And so right away, the devil is calling into question Jesus' identity. And so the first way to combat temptation is this. Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was. Remember the baptism that we just had 2 weeks ago. Just talked about it. Luke chapter 3, he said, "You are my son, whom I loved. With you I am well pleased." And if you recall, if you missed it 2 weeks ago, oh, you got to go back and watch it. It is so good. It is so good. Because one of the things we talked about are the truths about Jesus' baptism. I'm a child of God. God loves me. God likes me. Right? And so I have on your notes there, what if we rewrote that verse with your name in it? This is our first step to combating temptation. What if you write your name in there? Greg is a child of God. God loves me. God likes me. What a great starting point. I think this was the starting point for Jesus right here. He knew who he was. He knew who he was. Okay? And there's nothing that we can do to get God to like us anymore, get God to love us anymore. Nothing we can do. Just a given. That's our starting point. Second point is that he knew Scripture. Right? Each temptation there is rebuked with a scripture passage. Psalm 119:11 says this, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." God's word, think about what that says. We walk around in the darkness, we're confused, not quite sure which way to turn. God's word lights the way for us. A beautiful writing there. And so they, when we read Scripture, they are reminders of the truths of the gospel. They are reminders of how to act in certain situations. That's why I tell you, I think every week, get into God's Word. Read the Scriptures. Read the words of Jesus. Okay? Please. And a lot of people will do this. Please don't substitute it with sitting down and watching a TV preacher or a YouTube preacher. All right? There's no substitute. You're getting their ideas. God's Spirit's going to speak to you through God's Word in your situation. And so I want to encourage you to do that. This helps us to combat temptation. This is what Jesus did. It's not like something super, you know. This is what Jesus did, right? And so he shows us those two things for combating temptation. And then the way that Jesus lived his life, it shows us how to respond to temptation as well. And so remember I talked about, which of these areas, which of these three areas kind of trip you up? You know, which of these three is your Achilles heel? Well, now we have a little thing that you can do. Maybe help us out with examples from Jesus. And the first thing, if you're tempted by your appetite, and that then you want to do this, implement a fast. Implement a fast. Notice what Jesus was doing in the wilderness 40 days. Fasting. He was fasting, right? And so the devil, if he's going to go after you with one of your appetites or cravings, just say no, right? That doesn't work, right? To just say no. Willpower is not going to do that. The early church fathers who were around like the couple hundred years after Jesus was on the earth, they said this. If you say no to one appetite, you can say no to something else. If you say no to one appetite, you can say no to something else. In other words, they're advocating going after the appetite indirectly. Give up something that you do have power over, so then the door of your heart and the Holy Spirit can work, that craving is pried open a little bit. The power of the Holy Spirit then can help you conquer what you're really dealing with. And so you go on a fast, give up something else in your life. For instance, if you find yourself like, I just watch too much TV. You say, I watch too much TV or I surf on the internet too much or whatever. Then you give up something else in your life. You say, okay, I'm going to give up sweets for a week. or give up sweet drinks, or I'm going to fast lunch. I'm going to give up lunch every other day. Okay? So you are claiming control over your body in one area, and you find victory in one area can lead the Holy Spirit working to giving you victory in another area that you're really dealing with. Okay? Dallas Willard said this, do the things you can so that you can do the things you can't. Okay? So, appetite's the deal, implement a fast. The second thing, if the temptation is ambition or success or winning or accomplishment, here's what you do. Choose to lose. Choose to lose. If you're in an argument, get into debate with somebody, don't choose to not have the last word. All right? If you're playing a game with somebody and you always have the desire to win and, you know, that's like your driving factor, then make the point of playing whatever that game is, make the point to bless your opponent. In other words, you play to win, okay, but if you win or lose, so what? Make it the point to bless whoever you're playing against. You know, if you're in a group, refuse to go first and refuse to take control of the conversation. Just hold back, man. Just hold back and just sit back and listen. Sit back and listen. Don't worry. And this is a big thing in our nation. Don't worry about saving face and having to get respect, about being disrespected. Learn to welcome embarrassment. Learn humility. Here's the way you do that. Laugh at yourself. I find this pretty easy, coming pretty often these days. Learn to laugh at yourself. I said that Jesus had examples of doing this. This is what Jesus did. Jesus chose to lose. If you look in your outline, Philippians chapter 2, Paul is telling us about Jesus, and he's talking to the church, and he tells them, hey, listen, your relationships with one another have the same mindset that Jesus did, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He chose to lose by taking the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. When the temptation is ambition in your life, choose to lose like Jesus. And finally, if the temptation is approval, remove yourself from the situation. Remove yourself. If the temptation that you have is you're always looking for people to affirm you and to compliment you, remove yourself from the situation. Don't give people the opportunity to compliment you. Just don't give them the opportunity. Jesus did this. He fed, in John chapter 6, he fed the 5,000, and people were just blown away, and they were overwhelmed. And Scripture says, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, he withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Jesus withdrew himself. He didn't need to hear all that. This is the reason why, after services, I don't stand down here and greet everybody. Because I don't want to hear 50 times, good sermon, Pastor. Good sermon, Pastor. Good sermon, Pastor. Because you know what? Probably after a while, I'll start believing it. That's why I try and greet you beforehand. How do we combat the temptation of approval? We remove ourselves from the situation. Now, last thing. Let me show you what happens next in verse 14. Mark, put verse 14 up there. Verse 14 says this, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. When we are going through temptation and we are claiming our identity as a child of God and we are using Scripture and we are using the tools that Jesus gave us to combat temptation, we gain power in that. We gain power in that. Would you bow your heads, please? And in this time of silence, I just want you to think about those those three temptations, appetite, ambition, of approval, and approval. Which one do you feel is your Achilles heel? Just allow God to speak to you and to show you. And be honest here. Ask God to show you what you might do this week to strengthen that area of your life in order to combat that temptation. What might you do? Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this offer of abundant life here on this earth. Lord, we ask forgiveness for our sins when we have not taken advantage of that opportunity that you have put before us. But Lord, show us how we might get it back. Show us the changes that we need to make in our life in order to let you reign, in order that we might experience that abundant life. Lord, we give your Holy Spirit permission to work in us, to make those changes. Lord, we pray for courage and strength to carry them out. And Lord, I pray that you would give us reminders throughout the week. Reminders of encouragement. Reminders of encouragement to keep going. Father, we ask you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who is working in us, making all things new. Amen.